Greetings, fellow investigators, and welcome back to our video podcast, Into the Darkness, where my friends and I play the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. I'm your host, Tom Rayleigh. Our scenario is entitled Bird's Head, and this is episode 6. It was written by Mick Swan, who is also our GM, and the recap will be given by Thomas McKeon. The heat and the humidity are oppressive. The players are ready. Let's begin our journey into the darkness. Tom?
Thanks, Tom. The group continues our journey deeper into the interior of Papua New Guinea. We stopped at a local village of indigenous people that seemed very uneasy of our presence. However, through basic conversation, we learned that the people of this area have purposely been avoiding the mountains. While we discern that ropins are possibly a cause, the people don't really say why they won't go up there. I think that it's most likely the indigenous people of the mountains, possibly their appearance, or maybe something else. We leave after Pijo completes a survey from a mountaintop, and we move deeper into the interior. After that, we come across an abandoned village. It's almost as if everyone got up and left without warning. We found it odd that no one was found, but after I fired my gun up to see if anyone could hear it, we found a young girl hidden inside a hut. She'd clearly been there for several days and was completely famished. While we were feeding her, the group decided to see if we could find the cause of the people's disappearance. Was it raiders? Was it another tribe? Was it disease? Was it a ropin? None of that seemed to work, however. We tried drawing in the dirt, but she just completely, it was void to her. It isn't until the girl approaches us with an image of what appears to be a butterfly that I see that she just needs compassion, though I don't think we'll find any out here. And that's where we left off.
Cool. Mick? You're muted, Mick.
No, that's it. Sorry, the mute wouldn't come off for a second. Okay. So, again, it is early in the morning. You have just been shown this image of the whatever it is.
We slept here last night, right?
Yes.
Can we get more information out of the girl now that she's sort of talking to us, at least in pictures?
Chime has tried to talk to her, and she seems to have sort of taken a shine to him, but she still hasn't said anything. When questioned about anything, she either reacts by pointing at the picture she's drawn, miming that she's still hungry, or pointing up the mountain.
I'll make sure the little girl gets plenty of food.
Yeah, she'll eat anything that's given to her at the moment. It's quite clear that she hasn't eaten for a few days.
Mm-hmm. She's
very, very hungry.
Mick, I'd like to set up with my binoculars and watch the mountain where she's pointing while everyone's doing whatever they do, just to try to see if, just casually watching over a long period of time, there's anything worth looking at.
Okay. Well, you don't see anything much up there at all. There's no signs of smoke from fires or anything.
Okay.
But you can carry on watching.
I'm curious, looking at the mountains, are these mountains that go up above the tree line, or are they green all the way to the top, forested?
There are patches of vegetation on the peaks, but for the most part, the majority of them look like they might be volcanic, previously volcanic. But there is a discernible tree line, but there's still foliage above that tree line.
Okay.
There's
Right.
Chaparral.
Flora. there's flora above the tree line, but it's a little more sparse, and it's a very definite extent of the jungle. And
okay, Mick, roughly, is she just pointing in a general direction on the mountain, or is she like pointing at a specific spot?
She's pointing in the same direction. When she points, she always points in the same direction.
Okay, I say, hey guys, why don't this? Maybe she's telling us where they took the village. I think I want to go where she's pointing to.
Well, that seems reasonable. Is there is there a landmark in that direction, like a specific peak or something she's pointing at, or just the general range?
Yes. Yeah, that's you're on the side of one particular one of the smaller peaks at the moment. Or you're quite low down on it. That's definitely leading up the peak on which the village is located.
Well, it's not exactly in the direction that we're going. However, if I get that higher position, I can do some surveying from up there. How do y'all feel about it? Should we see if we can find out what happened to the villagers?
I agree. Yeah, I think maybe she might be able to lead us in the general direction, although we're going to probably have to at some point, if they walked, we're going to have to find tracks or something, or evidence of somebody, discarded spearheads, pieces of pottery, something.
Well, there should be broken jungle trails. She obviously hasn't been here for weeks. The jungle grows fast, mm-hmm. but it doesn't grow that fast.
Nick, what was her attitude like when she drew the picture? Was she like fearful when she drew this, or?
Yes. Okay. Yes, she definitely seemed quite agitated.
Okay.
So she's afraid of the butterfly thing.
Difficult to discern that. She seemed anxious, and definitely it seemed as though she was trying to tell you something.
Probably we don't have an understanding of, you know, people don't all show emotions the same way wherever you're from. We don't know what she's really showing. Probably our anthropologist here would know better than anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, okay. I could possibly discern that, but I just like to bring up, are we really sure that we want to be heading in the direction with a young girl in tow?
Good. Well, the only other option is to go back the other way.
Well, I think maybe we should go back the other way.
Well, we only have this opportunity. We're here to do a job. What if we sacrificed, and I don't mean it that way, what if we sacrificed one of the bearers and had him take the little girl back to a village?
Yeah, I think how many...
That's probably a better option.
That's a good idea. Do we have any, like, rock climbing gear?
We should.
You have some basic climbing equipment. I mean, you have climbing equipment,
We weren't planning on doing much climbing. We were going to go along the valley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Climbing equipment that's appropriate to your skill set. I mean, right. you can get up a rocky escarpment, but in terms of you know, making an assault on a major peak, no.
She seems to have attached herself to Chime. Why don't we consider letting Chime go back with her to the previous village?
Probably a good idea.
Dr. Morton, do you think there would be any problem with them accepting her or anything like that?
I mean, a young girl, I don't really believe that there's going to be that big of an issue. If it were an entire village, certainly, but a scared young girl, the women especially will immediately attach. They'll immediately try to help, especially also if Chime is there. He's not elderly, but he is older. So his word should be respected. They should be treated like a guest, essentially. There shouldn't be any harm. But there definitely will be harm if we take her in the direction of over there, and I point to the direction she pointed.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good idea. I don't get me wrong. I think that she should go back to the village, but I don't want us all to have to take her back. It doesn't make any sense. Besides, what if this might be nothing? It might be. I think that it is something, but it might be that they're all at some religious festival or something. I don't know anything about these people.
Yeah, well, I sincerely think that we just need to let her go, and then we'll go in that direction. We'll check very quickly. How long will it take us to get back on track if we head in that direction?
Well, I actually think that considering that once we get up there a ways, it should actually assist in what we're doing, because I can map a whole bunch of this part that we haven't gone through yet.
Yeah, it's
just a matter of time.
Well, I think this is good for you there, P-Jo.
I think it'll cut a day out of it.
Because then at least you can at least try and figure out, map this mountain out. So I think this is a good idea. This is a great thing for you.
We can come out farther up the valley.
And we can also, if it might be, we can also try, and there might be stuff up on the mountains that people never seen. So it would be good for us to, kind of figure it out. So it's not like we're going to waste this time going up this mountain.
Now, what I'm going to say, if there's some kind of danger involved, if there's a rival tribe of mountain dwellers that have attacked these people and got them, we have shotguns.
So true, we do have shotguns.
Do the indigenous people here have weapons? I mean, other than hunting weapons?
Yes, they should.
Probably spears.
They have spears. They have sort of ritual fighting clubs, and especially they have specific arrows for killing men.
Oh.
Hmm.
Well, we'll just have to be careful. Are you saying poisons? Yeah.
No, they just have big blades on them.
Ah. Well, we'll have to be careful, but I think that it's
like
worth
a spear. They're like a spearhead on a long arrow.
It's worth checking out just to make sure that. I think that we should go a certain distance. At a certain point, there's got to be a point where we have to say, "Well, we can't do anything," and we'll have to turn and continue up the valley.
What about? About 4.5 miles.
Well, we'll go as far as we think we need to. We'll eventually all agree that we need to go.
It shouldn't just be distance, it should be time as well.
Yeah. I agree.
Do you think we'll
how far we can get?
Do you think we're going to need to come back to the village, or do you think we just keep going, Joe?
I think that we should then, if we go up this side this way, I think that we can come. When I survey, I'll be able to get most of this part of the valley. We can come down the other, at a right angle into the valley.
Yeah.
And then we're going to have to come back through it. So if there's anything I miss, I can get it on the way back.
All right. Well, yeah. I lean up on my rifle and push myself up, and I say, well, we're wasting daylight then, if that's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Good plan. Let's get started.
Makes sense.
We discussed this with all of the people in our caravan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do the bears feel about that? About us going up the mountain?
Good question.
Well, the bears are they're rattled. They don't like the fact that this village is deserted. they would have been fine with the village being deserted, but the village being deserted and one child being left behind, they're not happy about that.
It seems very unlikely, yeah.
Yeah, they seem quite worried that
something horrible has happened.
Bless you.
Bless you.
Did anybody seem
quite worried that something's
around happened the village yet?
Yeah, well, we spent the night here, so can we look around the village one more time just to make sure?
Yeah, good plan. No
evidence. Yeah, yeah, you can make a spot hidden roll.
34.
Well, yes. 29. I definitely make it.
So, if there is any evidence, we should see it.
Well,
I fail.
For those of you who did make the roll, you don't find anything untoward, but there are just little things here and there that you notice while you're searching. Things like digging sticks and bows, arrows, half-eaten meals. A pot that looks like it's just burned dry on a dead fire.
They went suddenly.
Things that suggest that people just left here very suddenly, as though everyone just dropped what they were doing and left.
In that stuff we heard about Pompeii, where the people were all just frozen in the positions they were in when the volcano went off.
Pedro, I think it's
my
called
question
Pompeii.
Is,
well, you say Pompeii, I say Pompeii.
The question is, did they leave or were they taken somewhere?
Is there any sign of a struggle?
Well, there won't necessarily be if they were attacked en masse and overwhelmed.
No, there's nothing that points to a struggle.
Or at night, too.
True.
Well, it doesn't look like night. It looks like they were cooking and doing things when this happened.
No, I'm just giving us the, yeah, it could have been, but I'm just saying, if there's no struggle, I'm just giving you what I think could have happened if there's no struggle. Or they could have been drugged.
Well, the floors in these huts, are they dirt?
Yes.
So are there any places in the dirt where it looks like things were kicked up? And I mean, that's sort of the struggle that I'm looking for.
No, nothing.
Nothing broken. No.
Well, I mean, they've been doing things the same way for probably millennia, untouched. I mean, if their culture dictates that if they are surrounded, they are to give up without a struggle, then they're going to give up without a struggle.
What says the anthropologist? Does that sound? They have weapons to fight with.
They have weapons to fight with and to hunt with.
So I don't think that they would just give up. It looks then like they mutually agreed to walk away, to walk somewhere.
Yeah.
Where did they go? And they left.
Well, the girl went to the mountain.
Well, the child being left behind suggests panic.
Yeah, and the fact that they left things right there on the table suggests panic, too.
A mother would not just leave her child in a village unless she were panicked and running away. There may not be any, and I hold my hand up to the group. There may not be any significance to the mountain, I must point out. It could just be the direction, the opposite direction of the cause of their evacuation.
Of course. That's why we're not going to spend a huge amount of time looking.
Just enough. Damn jungle dogs.
I'm thinking. Do these people tend to have large families?
Well, by and large, because of the environment in which they live, infant mortality is quite high. So as with any people who have a high rate of infant mortality, they do tend towards having large families on the understanding that they don't really know how many of them are going to survive.
Well, then I'm thinking, imagine for a moment this sort of scenario. You've got a mother, and obviously maybe a father, but you've got, maybe she's got six children. The panic comes. Mm-hmm. The village is in turmoil. The children are not necessarily all home snuggling under mama's wing. They're all over the village playing with their friends, doing whatever children do. Mm-hmm. And so mom screams for the kids. They all go running up the hill, and it's halfway up or all the way up the hill before she realizes one of them is still back in the house.
Why wouldn't she come back?
Maybe she's not allowed. Maybe there's too much danger for her to come back, and she figures, well, I've got five other kids. It souns horrible to say that, but as we determined, the infant mortality rate is
high. Yeah, that would be part of their culture. She may have assumed that the child was dead.
She has to think about the five children that she's got and not, you know, sacrifice herself for the one child. The children need their... It's complicated. It sounds complicated. I don't know.
No, I completely understand. It makes sense to me.
So there might be a reason why
You sound like a monster.
How do I sound like a monster? It's just the way things are.
Well, he's right, though, for once. A different culture is not going to think the same way we do if we have five children.
Yeah. In any case, I'm saying there might be a reason why the child got left behind. And
It's possible the mother thought that this child was dead already.
It's possible. Or that they got separated and she'd find her later. She could be with grandma, grandpa, cousin, uncle, aunt. And she's probably looking for her right now. Anyways, we got to make it up this hill. Can we say we were talking like while we're walking up the mountain?
Yeah. Okay. Well, can we assume that she seems quite happy to go with Jimmy?
Okay.
Hope she's all right.
And Jimmy, can we give him instructions that, you know, take her there and get her settled and tell the villagers what's happened? Is that a good idea?
Yes. Okay.
Well, someone should know just in case. I mean, they can travel the jungle. If we get in trouble, maybe they can help us. As unlikely as that is.
Right. Tell them that we're going to try to look for the village, but we don't know. We're very inexperienced in these mountains. And
right. Weku relates all of this to Chine.
Right. All right.
That's a good question. What does Weku think about all of this? About this child that was left behind? About the abandoned village? About all of this? Is he skittish?
You could ask him.
Now, I'm going to ask...
Oh, yeah.
We asked about Pijo. Would that be something in that culture? Would that be something that a mother would do? I just want to know what he thinks, if this is...
Would a mother abandon her child? No.
I was just saying whatever Pijo said. I want to ask him, see his opinion on if Pijo is crackpot crazy or actually on the right track.
I don't know why they left. I don't know.
I'm just saying that it's a possibility. I'm not saying that it's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Chase, did you have a question for Weku?
Yeah, I was wondering what he thought about the whole, okay, the whole village is abandoned, there's one child left. Is he nervous about us going up this mountain?
He looks a little bit anxious for a moment and kind of looks around him as though he's not entirely sure that he should answer that question, and says, "Well, the people in Andai, they have a lot of stories about the mountain, and they say it's bad luck to come up here." I don't think they'd be surprised from what they were saying when I was talking to them yesterday. I don't think they'd be surprised to learn that this happened.
Well, perhaps a strong indicator for us that it's time to turn back to our jobs is if Wepu tells us that the bears are thinking about running. You know, we don't want to risk their lives or anything.
Oh no, my boys are all good. They're all trustworthy. They won't do that.
Well, you tell us if they're really, really nervous about what we're doing, and we'll consider their feelings.
Yeah. It's only fair.
But anyways, we're losing the morning. Let's get going. It's almost bearable right now.
Yeah, I agree.
The temperature.
Almost. I'm all starting to get used to the humidity a little bit.
Well, as has happened every other morning, the bearers all light their roll-ups on the fire and then continue lighting each other's cigarettes with other cigarettes for the rest of the morning. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, you have this acrid cloud of twist tobacco smoke following them wherever they go. So it smells kind of like a mixture of shoe polish, cigarettes, and old leather, with just a hint of rotting cardboard. It's kind of it's not the nicest smell, but you're kind of getting used to it. There's a very clear path leading up the mountain.
Ah.
And while it doesn't look particularly well worn, it looks, I mean, you can see where it's going. There's only occasionally does someone have to get out a machete and hack some of the foliage. More just to get the supplies through, the packs and the boxes. If you were just a party of people on foot, you'd probably just be able to walk up there without any problems.
Now, can we keep our eye open for any kind of evidence of these people? Maybe they dropped
good question.
Jewelry, maybe they dropped a piece of clothing or something along the way as they went. Right. Broke branches off of things, or
Has anyone got tracking?
10%.
Just give me a second. I'll check. Probably not, but you never know.
Oh my god. I got a 4.
Oh, Jesus. Well,
and I've got 10, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wasn't that lucky.
even when you're not particularly skilled at tracking, when a large volume of people have moved through an area, it's impossible for them not to leave a trace.
Right.
So you can tell that this ground, within the last few days, you can't tell how long ago, because you honestly don't have that much knowledge of tracking, but you can tell, as you're at the front, that in the last few days, a large number of people have been through here. Here and there, you can see what might be footprints. You're not entirely sure because it's that one person has trodden on another person's footprint. Mm-hmm. But there are bits where it looks like they're footprints. Make a spot hidden roll.
Sixteen.
Damn, son, you're rolling like amazing tonight.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You're able to tell, looking closer, that there are definitely a variety of sizes of footprints. It's not all adult footprints.
Men, women, children.
Some of them are quite small footprints. And there's even, you know, one or two sets of what look like paw prints. Whether that was domestic dogs or whether that was animals following them or animals fleeing from them, it's impossible to tell.
Or it could just be one rat. Or it could just be some random dog too.
Do they?
Yeah, there is. Dogs? There is also some random dog do. Yes.
Do they keep dogs?
I read an 18 on biology. Does it definitely look like?
There have been dogs.
They
in
definitely
every
look like.
So far.
Yeah, I rolled an 18 on biology. They definitely look like dog paw prints.
As far as you, I mean, they're a few days old and a little worn, and there's a lot of humidity in the jungle, so things tend to settle quite quickly. But as far as you can tell, yes, they have the standard structure of a dog's paw print. With the four toes,
right,
and the three lobed pad behind them,
and the little toenail.
Alrighty, prick. So yes. They took the entire village, including their animals, with them. Mm.
So something they were afraid of. And they definitely came this way. All right. Well, mm-hmm. We're on the right track then. Just got to follow this.
I say, let's keep following it.
Okay. Around about noon, bearers start settling in to hit the rations again. You've got used to this in traveling up here. It's very much part of the day that just before and just after noon it becomes too hot to do anything.
Right. And how steep is our ascent?
It's not horribly steep. I'd guess that even at the worst bits it's no more than about 30 degrees. Okay. It's the path tends to sort of spiral off up the hill and then goes behind the mountain. So it's leading at the moment to the other side of the mountain from the other side of the mountain from where the village is.
Okay. Well, okay. We continue.
Keep
our eyes open.
Well, more roll-ups are smoked, and off they trudge further up the hill. The bearers seem to be holding up all right. I mean, they're not betraying any signs of confusion or anxiety. No, they're going up the hill there. I think they're glad to be away from that village.
Yeah, but, I don't blame them.
About 2:30 in the afternoon, one of the men, because Wepu from time to time, as he has done previously, sends a couple of men off ahead of you. And the men return, and they say something to Wepu, and Wepu says, "Oh, there's a." They say there's a bridge up here.
A bridge.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And about 7 or 8 minutes later, you come across this. Oh.
Oh wow.
Rather. Intricate,
spectacular.
beneath it, there's a...
Holy crap.
There's a small lake.
Hmm. Now, this tells us something important. It tells us that this is a trail that they have walked before, because there's a bridge.
Exactly.
You get the opinion that you get the impression that this bridge is the result of hundreds of man hours of labor.
Yeah.
As well.
It's extremely impressive.
It's just got a narrow little thing to stand on, and you hold on to the sidebars, right, so that you don't fall through.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to stop speaking with Damien, and I'm going to approach to the front where Pijo is, and I'm going to ask him, are we sure that bringing the bearers across the bridge is a smart idea? They've got all the weight.
Well, how much weight will this bridge hold?
I think that's a problem.
There's got to be another way around.
Well, we can all cross one at a time, but...
Yeah. Well, if the bears cross one at a time, it shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, but what about the
stuff? It's not like they weigh 10,000 pounds. It's not like our stuff weighs 10,000 pounds.
But an extra 100 pounds or even maybe 75 pounds could make all the difference.
True. I don't know. Does this bridge look particularly sturdy enough?
It hasn't been messed with, has it? Nobody's
hold that amount of weight?
Cutting ropes or anything.
No. It doesn't look like it's been damaged in any way. It looks quite sturdy.
The question is, our bearers, okay, I guess in my mind, I imagine four guys holding a thing on their shoulders with all of our packs and stuff in the middle. Is it that way, or did each of them have a bunch of stuff on their backs?
Yeah, each of them's carrying some stuff on their backs.
So they could make it across individually.
For the most part, it's bags. One or two of them have got boxes slung over their backs with some of the boxed equipment.
Well, let's see here. Who's the bravest and who's the lightest?
I'm not the lightest.
Well, I may be the lightest. Maybe.
And I'm fairly small. My size is 40.
Well, I'd prefer if it was a man who went across first.
Yeah. My size is 70.
Yeah. Okay.
70.
Six something.
I'll go after Damien.
I guess I'm average too. I suggest that one of us try to go out and see how sturdy the damn thing is. Does it sway when you walk on it, or is it quite tight and
are you walking across the bridge?
Well, I'm talking to them. Have we decided who's going to try it first?
You know what? I'll try it first.
All right. Get out there in the middle of it and shake it and see if it falls.
I'm not. Oh, if you want to do that, that's perfectly fine. But I'm gonna quickly go.
Well, if the
we need to see
if the bridge falls out from under him, he's gonna need to grab onto it. How strong is he? Can he support his own body weight? Like if he's hanging?
Oh, if it breaks, he's gonna die. I think
you are just. You are just genuinely such an optimist, Pijo.
I said we have to be brave.
Is there any way that
can we assume that the entire village walked across this bridge? The trail's led right up to it?
The trail has led right up to this bridge.
I think that it's probably fine then.
No, you guys are way too slow, and I set off across the bridge myself.
Hey, I was going across the bridge too, so.
Well, just wait for her to finish. See how stable is it?
How stable is it?
Dr. Chase. Would you make a dexterity roll, please?
They named her Dr. Chase because we have to keep chasing after her.
I made it. 11.
Okay, yeah, you get across. It's a bit creaky. And it certainly worries you walking across it. You don't. It feels quite precarious, but you get across. Nothing happens.
Like it can carry the weight of the bearers?
I mean, it seems fine to me. You guys are chicken.
It didn't move around very much when you walked across it. So.
Well, Dr.
John. Yeah, okay, I'll go across then.
Yeah.
Make a dexterity roll, please.
And this is where I
fall in the
sea. And I fail.
Oh dear. make a luck roll.
Biologist. Is there another biologist back there? We broke one.
Dr. Chase seems to know a lot about biology.
Okay. I make my luck roll.
Okay. You miss your footing about halfway through.
Okay.
And luckily. Luckily, your testicles break your fall. Instead of both your feet going through a hole in the bridge, one of your feet goes through one hole and the other foot goes through the hole behind it. But you kind of scissor yourself on a thing. So I'm afraid you're going to have to take 1 point of damage for that.
Shouldn't it be?
Yeah. I see this and I just sympathy wince.
Yeah. I'm afraid you've got yourself in the testimonials.
I would agree with Sean. 2 points seems to apply and the rest of the men all take 1 point just for the frame.
Yes, we all visibly groaned with that one.
Jesus. Even the bearers are like, ooh.
Oh yeah, there's an audible sort of intake of air among the bearers as the bearers all go. But
well, he's not having children after that.
Well, after sitting on the bridge for about 2 or 3 minutes, you pull yourself together and very gently and cautiously hobble to the other side.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, I think that when we cross the bridge, we need to keep our feet together and just take little steps.
I'm over here trying very hard not to laugh. While trying to simultaneously hope our biologist is okay.
Make sure when you cross, you put one foot right in front of the other. Watch your feet. Watch your feet as you cross. I'm going to go ahead and go next.
Okay. Make a dexterity roll then.
Oh, God, it's amazing.
43. Yeah, I'm fine. Okay. However, when I get about halfway across, holding on to it, I'm going to try shaking it to see how, if it feels like, is it going to, you know, support whatever they're carrying?
Oh, my God.
It looks pretty sturdy. It's got all those cross wires that are holding it in place to keep it from swaying. I mean, I'm not jumping up and down. I just want to make sure that it's...
Yeah, it seems fine. It seems quite...
Yeah, I think the bears can cross that with the stuff on their backs. It's not that heavy.
Yeah, as long as they don't fall through a hole.
It moves about a bit, but there's so many vines... Strung to it. It doesn't rock from side to side. It doesn't sway from side to side like a hammock or something. It moves. It sort of flexes.
It's been well anchored. I'd say this is a remarkable piece of technology right here for the jungle. And I continue across.
It really is.
The way that it moves. I mean, you get the feeling that the way it moves probably, if anything, helps it.
Right.
It moves a little
bit. Shock absorbent.
It doesn't seem to move stress. Too much.
All right. I'm going to, when I get across the bridge, I'm going to turn around and draw a picture of this.
Yeah, it's a landmark.
Well, I just mean to draw a picture of it because it's kind of interesting and pretty.
Make sure to include Dr. White on the bridge going, oh!
The whole where Dr. White lost his ability to have children.
Dr. White sitting on a rock on the other side of the bridge just nursing his family jewels. All right, folks.
I'm across. Feel better now.
Okay, who's next?
Mick, did you say what was underneath the bridge? I missed that.
There's a small body of water. The top of which is covered in a sort of a thick mat of algae and leaf matter.
Okay, I'll go next.
A dirty pool.
Dirty pool, old man.
Also,
make a dexterity roll, please.
Also, I'm keeping my eye out for a wandering, whistling duck, by the way. 25 is a hard.
Oh, well. Yes, you skip across the bridge. Joyfully.
Tra-la-la, tra-la-la.
Nothing tra-la-la.
I'll go next if they want.
Okay.
Make a dex roll.
Yes, please.
Yes, sir. 33. I am good.
There we go.
I'll stop halfway and stretch and, you know, make it look like I'm going to fall a bit, laugh a bit, and then continue on.
Shall I make you make a roll of luck for that? No, I won't.
Well, Dr. Donovan, you're a kind and generous cross that keeper. Just like a snake.
That's the way I operate.
Okay, and Dr. Morton?
I'm going to hike everything up. I'm going to smile to the group, and I'm going to walk across. 43 it passed.
Okay. It's going to roll.
Piece of cake. There you go.
Wepu follows you over. He does fine. Oh, dear.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
This is going to turn quickly into a rescue mission.
Oh, dear. I think the bearers are dead.
How far below is the pond with the scum?
The bearers are dead.
Well, the surface of the pond is about 30 feet below.
Oh, that's not so bad.
Everyone is nearly across when one of the bearers at the back takes a tumble.
Uh-oh.
And while he's able to regain his footing, he does, however, lose the pack he was carrying.
Now, is there any way
in that pack?
Well, the next time you need any specific piece of equipment from your expedition supplies, you will probably have to make a luck roll to see whether that was in the pack that was lost.
Well, thank God I keep most of my equipment on me.
Without stocks,
yeah, I mean, my
inventory,
in my bag.
You wouldn't be able to tell.
Is there any way we can work our way down the side of the ravine and retrieve the bag? Is it floating?
It's not.
No.
It's not worth it, Pijo. It's not worth it.
What if it's our change of underwear?
Given that the bags are all sort of olive colored canvas.
You're never going to find
it. Even if it was floating, it would be very difficult to find it.
You would literally have to crit spot hidden to find it.
Yeah, it's a very uninviting looking body of water. It looks very much like it's a large stagnant body of water.
Well, the truth is, I'm just glad the bear didn't fall in. You okay, buddy?
Yeah, he's probably shaken.
He smiles and gives you a thumbs up.
What's that? Well,
these guys
culture?
Have iron wills. They really have iron wills.
He's not particularly. He pats himself down and checks it in his pouch, and pulls out his tobacco. He's quite happy that his tobacco made it.
That's right. The real lucky strike right there.
All right, now let's see where we go from here. You said it's past two.
Onward.
Should we bivouac here on the other side of the bridge?
I think that's a fair idea. I mean, it's going to take us some time.
You can walk on a little bit to find a better spot.
All right.
And probably about half an hour later, so about half to quarter to three, you find somewhere where you can pitch up for the night. And again, there are vague signs of people passing through the area, much as there were before earlier on the path. You get the feeling you're still on the right track.
All right. Well, now might be a good time to get something to eat. Let's hope that our food didn't fall in the water there.
Well, you definitely have some food. You don't notice anything missing necessarily from the food supply.
Okay.
But you had a lot of food.
Well, now that we've stopped, I'm going to see if I can get a position where I can do some surveying. At least for an hour or so.
From where you are, you're in dense jungle at the moment.
All right. So, nope. So, doctors, have you seen any cool bugs, plants, birds, snakes, lizards?
Aside from the bridge and the abandoned village, the most interesting thing I've seen relating to my field was the village and the bridge.
Yeah, the bridge especially.
But it was interesting.
Interesting. How old do you think that bridge is?
I'm going to be, probably... Goodness, I couldn't tell you. It must have been there for, ages, though. I mean, probably with constant repair, too. They probably are constantly making sure it's sturdy.
Well,
yes.
To me...
It's like the family Napoleonic dagger.
The family Napoleonic bridge.
A bridge is a bridge, Pedro. I just can't wait till we find... what's up here? Why they need a bridge? Maybe we can actually finally see maybe an artifact that no one's found before, or some kind of ritualistic thing that no one's ever documented before.
Well, that would be amazing if
some sort of secret city.
We found that.
Well, there's got to be a reason for a bridge. Yeah,
as for now, I'm just documenting the village and the bridge that I found in my own personal notes in my field notebook, making connections.
Okay. Everyone make a listen roll.
Oh. No.
Oh yeah, I make it.
No. I unlistened.
You unlistened.
I'm walking around like this.
Strangely quiet up here. You've grown used to the constant noise and chatter of the jungle and it never being quiet, but it's not silent. You can still hear insects buzzing and moving, but you can't hear any birds or the calls of larger animals.
Well, I will keep my rifle and my shotgun and my pistol very close.
Yeah, there could be a large predator. Maybe we're in the territory of like a jaguar or something.
Yeah, Dr. White, what's your opinion on the strange
rifle?
Lack of animals.
That is very strange. Usually there should be some more animals, but it's really strange.
Maybe we're just going out of their habitat.
This whole area is their habitat.
I suppose that's true.
Like I said, maybe a large predator. And if that's the case, we should start seeing signs of maybe a big cat or something.
Well, other than the lack of certain sounds that you've grown used to, the evening, for the most part, passes uneventfully. Every now and then you're occasionally woken up by the sound of the bearers moving around and doing whatever it is that the bearers do late at night. She's probably getting up and smoking some more cigarettes and then going back to bed. And you can hear them chatting outside from time to time. It sounds like maybe they're keeping watch as well.
Mick, just because this is not my first foray, I'd like to do a scout of the perimeter, like a few yards away from the campsite, and then to do twine around with tin cans.
Okay.
Just to see if any large predator or even the villagers eventually show back up.
Okay, it'll take you about 15 minutes to do that in the dark.
Do you need a survival roll or no?
Yeah, go and give me a survival roll.
Okay. 16. All good.
Okay.
Nice.
All right, yeah, you set up a basic perimeter tripwire.
Okay.
Some tin can. You put a few stones in the tin cans to help them rattle.
Sure. All right. Looks like it's read a book time.
About 3 a.m. Dr. Morton, would you make a listen roll, please?
Yes, sir. Give me that. Oh, give me some of Tom's magic. 8.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm taking your magic, Tom.
About 3:10 in the morning, you hear one of the cans rattling.
All right. And immediately grip the rifle. I'm assuming I'm in my hammock when I hear. So I'm going to kind of lean up. Who is the closest to me? Whose hammock is closest to me?
Probably me.
Okay. I'm gonna like turn my gaze over and take the barrel and kind of just jab at Pijo, kind of in his side.
Oh. What the?
And as soon as he kind of leans up, I'm gonna put my finger up. And I'm going to tap my ear, and I'm going to point over to where I heard the sound.
Oh, shit.
So right. I'm going, Pete Joe can do what he's going to do. I'm going to look in the direction of where the sound came from.
Yeah, Pete Joe, make a listen roll as well.
I got 100.
Oh, I thought it was gonna be a good one.
Well,
that's like the first 100 I've gotten in a long time.
You've just woken up. You can't even really tell what's going on at the moment. You're not entirely sure whether this is real or just a dream that you're having.
What happened to the magic?
You're still in the process of waking up.
You stole my magic. You really stole my magic.
So I have a really high spot hidden. Is it possible for me to look through the dark and kind of spot a figure?
If you have a flashlight, actually, I'll hang on. If you make a successful roll, yes.
Okay.
Why did you wake me up? Are we gonna like make out or something?
Pedro, calm down. Yeah, I can see. So I know why Pedro wants to be by me. I'm going to, yeah, I've made a 50. So I'm okay.
With a 50 and the flickering light from the campfire, you can see that there's a big dark shape over there, but you can't see what it is.
Can I look in the direction that he's looking?
Yep.
I got an 8 that time.
And the magic's back.
The magic's back.
Pijo, in the light of the fire, all you can see over there is you can see the glint of the tin can, and behind it, a large sort of pale-looking tree.
What in the hell is that over there? Is that a tree?
It might be a dead. It looks like it might be a dead tree. It's got no leaves on it.
I'm going to clink around in the chamber, and I'm just going to see what Pijo, how he kind of reacts to the sound of the clink in the chamber.
I think it's just a tree. Do you see something I don't see? What are you looking at?
Well, I'm assuming that we're looking at the same thing, but if it's just a tree, I'm going to kind of press the butt up to the crook of my shoulder.
Okay, and well,
I'm going to aim.
If you're going to fire, you're going to scare the shit out of everybody, but I'll go ahead and if you see something, I'm going to put mine up too. Be careful. It might be one of the bears.
That's what I'm worrying about. I don't want to hurt one of our own. So I look over to you and I whisper that you've got a shotgun.
Yes.
Well, if something goes wrong, you shout duck and then pull the trigger. If I don't hit the ground, then I don't hit the ground.
Okay, well, cover your ears.
So I'm going to, I'm going to motion that he stay in his hammock, but I'm going to kind of twist out and step silently on the ground. I'll wear my goddamn sock.
I actually thought we'd gotten up.
You can't get up if you'd like.
I thought we were standing there looking in that direction, but all right.
I'm going to start slowly moving.
I was going to say, we fire these guns while we're laying in our hammocks, we're just going to spin like
and that'll be it. And then it'll be funny as shit. Well, I was going to assume you were going to get out too. But just like stay within like this area where your hammock is. Because I'm going to get up and start moving. I'm going to kind of crouch down and start moving towards where the figure is.
And I'm going to make sure that he doesn't get between me and the figure. So if I have to move to the other direction to make sure I've got whatever the tree is, you know, in my sights. So I guess we're kind of doing this. We're going into opposite directions.
So I'm approaching. As I'm approaching Mick, I'm going to take the gun out of the crook of my shoulder and I'm going to hold it up. I'm going to hold it up above my head.
Okay.
Okay.
And I'm moving to the side to make sure that if there's something there, that if it tries to grab Arthur, then I'm going to shoot it. As long as it's not one of the bears. Does anybody else see us doing any of this?
You get closer to it, about 8 to 10 feet away from it, and again in the flickering light of the fire you can see a tree. Looks like it's about 15 or 16 feet high. It's kind of a grayish color.
If I pass by anybody else's hammock, can I nudge them to wake them up?
If you wish to wake anyone else up, you can, yeah.
Yeah, probably Dr. Donovan, and if Dr. Adu is there, I'll give them nudges to see if they wake up. But I give them a...
What's going on?
There's something here.
Mick, is this tree that you're describing, was it there before?
You can't remember. I mean, it's a jungle.
That's true. This tree could have spread up.
One tree looks very much like another.
The gray trees stand out, but it could have just spread up.
It looks gray, like it's
dead.
Like it's dead, or it might be gray, like the way a silver birch is kind of grayish, or it might have some sort of disease or something. In this level of light, you've just got some flickering light from the campfire. It's not. That easy to see what things look like.
Okay.
Can I pull out my flashlight too, and shine it on whatever it is? Yeah. I want to turn my flashlight on and shine it on whatever it is.
Make a spot hidden.
16. The magic is back.
You know, it's kind of weird, but as you're waving your flashlight on this tree, your hand's moving around a bit because you're trying to hold the shotgun as well.
Right.
And every now and then, and Arthur, you can see this because you're closer to it.
Okay.
You're getting the same kind of effect, but every so often you get this sense that it's got almost a sort of sheen.
Like a varnish?
Like it's wet?
Yeah, well, you're not really close. The light isn't really bright enough to get a real sense of what it looks like, but it's almost like it's slightly reflective, like it's wet, or every now and then almost like it's even metallic or something, or it might be some kind of weird fungus or something, but it's a strange effect. But it's quite, despite that look, it's still kind of matte.
I say to Dr. Donovan, who's right next to me, I'm like, have you ever read these stories about man-eating plants? Are there man-eating plants out here that are going to eat us?
I think, well, I'm a herpetologist. I know insects and I know lizards, of course. But I have heard about man-eating plants, and I've heard stories when I've been doing some of my travels. Okay. Haven't seen one myself.
If that thing moves, I'm going to shoot it. It's obviously not one of the bears.
Well, those man-eating plants tend to be still. And I don't know if they're man-eating, but they're certainly mammal-eating, and they tend to stay until something is lured to them.
Well, there's in North Carolina, they've got those little Venus's fly catchers.
Yep.
They move.
Slowly, but they do. You're right. You are right.
Well, aren't you?
Do we not have a botanist on this expedition?
No, but you got a biologist. He should be able to figure this out if we wake him up. I'm kind of worried because if we fire these guns, everybody's going to jump out of their hammocks. Maybe wake people up. If Dr. Donovan, Dr. Adu, maybe you could wake everybody up.
Yeah,
I don't know why this is freaking me out so bad.
You know what plants don't like is fire.
That's true.
Maybe not actually effective, but bring fire close to it to see if it actually can move away from the fire. Just a thought.
You really believe it's a carnivorous plant?
I don't know. I read a lot of pulp fiction. My character does, so
it was more thinking, to test it.
Yeah, he's like, maybe it's a man-eating plant and it's trying
all to right. Miss. That's not a bad idea. I was actually thinking about throwing a rock, but if you want to throw maybe an ember, Dr. Donovan.
Yeah. So I'm going to try to get a little stick or something that's on fire from the and toss it at the thing.
Are you waking me up or no, not yet?
Yes, I'm okay,
are you going to come wake me up?
Yeah. Someone should get you.
Make a throw roll.
Throw?
Yep.
Oh, no. Got a 69.
Okay. It lands about 5 feet away from the tree.
I never did really get a baseball or softball.
Okay, and the tree does not react to that.
I think the gods are laughing at us. If this is just a damn tree. Why don't you try your rock idea?
All right. So I'm going to pick up, I'm going to tuck the rifle under the crook of my, in my armpit. And I'm going to grab a stone and I'm going to chuck it nice and hard right at the base of the stump.
Okay, make a
throw. Or where the stump should be.
Okay.
Where is my throw? Base, of course it is. 77, miss. I went off.
You hit my flaming stick over there.
Yeah, well, you miss it.
I mean, I hear this noise at this point and wake up, obviously.
Oh, it only lands. It lands about a foot away from the tree. Your stone.
It's like, ugh. The hell are you guys doing out there?
We're hunting a tree.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tree that shouldn't. That it's a misbehaving tree. I don't know what the hell it is. We're just all freaked out about it. So can we move closer?
You know,
how close are we now?
Well, Arthur is about 7 or 8 feet away from it. And you're still standing by the hammocks.
All right. I was moving a little in the other direction, but all right. So I'm going to take a couple of strides towards it.
Okay. The tree does not react.
I think it's just a damn tree. Now maybe snake in the tree.
I just get up and I follow over there.
And is there any way I can roll a biology roll, see if it's...
It's going to tell us it's a dendrobium.
Where are you making this biology roll from? Where are you?
I guess I'm just going to... I get up, I'm kind of shake it off. And I'm gonna try and get as close as I can to it.
You're gonna walk past us all?
Well, I'm gonna just check this tree out.
So you're walking past me, and I'm the closest one.
Yeah.
You're just gonna walk up to the tree and knock.
I'm not gonna knock. I'm gonna kind of look at it.
Okay. Have you got your flashlight with you?
Yep.
Okay. Make a biology roll.
I pass.
It's very much unlike any tree you've ever seen. It's about 16 feet high. And okay. It's like a sort of metallic green color. It's not as big as the other trees around it, but it's okay. Got quite a lot of thick, very thick, almost cylindrical branches. And the trunk at the bottom divides into two, and then again into what look like roots.
Is there, just so I know, is there any like tree branches that fell? That's on the ground?
There are branches, but they don't seem to be from this particular tree.
Okay.
I mean, the most interesting thing about it is that it's a kind of metallic-y gray color.
Can I take... I'm going to pull out one of my knives.
This is when I'm going to start backing up.
I got my gun trained on the damn thing.
And you
know, I see this, and I think I'm going to train my rifle on it as well, just in case.
It's a tree.
Is anyone going to stop me?
No.
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 Right ahead.
Step back.
We were all freaked out about a stupid tree.
And I will try and see if I can get like a sliver with a knife and see if the tree does.
It's probably a bug.
So you're gonna you're doing what? You're trying to cut a piece of the tree's bark off.
I'm basically taking a knife and I'm just like trying to make like a nice.
He's trying to take a sample of the tree.
You can do a little heart with an arrow going.
Given that you're making, given that you're using your knife, I'm gonna ask you to make a hit roll with your brawl.
Oh. Pff.
That's okay. Just a shorthand to see whether you can penetrate it enough to take a sample.
Okay.
I'll laugh if he crits it.
I do not. I got a 36, so.
Okay, I'm gonna say that you try to cut into it, but your attempt to cut into it is interrupted by one of the branches of the tree moving very rapidly downwards towards
you. Whoa!
Sweet.
It was totally a fucking man-eating tree. Are you serious?
And this gray cylindrical branch come tentacle slaps down on the ground about 4 inches from your right foot.
Out.
Okay, should we all do a...
Should we make a sand roll for this?
I might make a sanity roll for this, yes.
I might jump backwards and shoot.
As soon as I see it, I'll be like, holy fucking...
I got an 88.
I just barely make it.
Okay.
Yeah. I just barely make it by one.
Right, if you've made your sanity roll, you'll lose 1 point of sanity. If you fail your sanity roll, you will lose 1d6 plus 1.
Oh, God.
Oh, shit. I just lost 7 points, and I probably fired into the...
The theater.
I got an 05. So I think.
Oh my god. I think Pijo might go might go temp insane here.
I got a 98. I lost 3.
Okay.
Poor Pijo.
But this is tree-like. This is plant-like. This is not an insect or something else.
It's not a tree either.
It's quite handy that you've lost the large amount of sand there because you've got the cards.
So you know what? I moved my whole office this week, and I don't know where my cards are.
So we can make one up.
Yeah.
Make him scared of trees.
Besides, you're the one who needs to tell me because I'm out of control at this point.
Make him scared of trees.
I think the most appropriate thing at this point.
Well, send it to me in text so that nobody knows, and I'll just do it.
Okay. I'm like, holy freakish! As soon as I see that, I immediately like jump back.
We all did. I think I just fell over my.
I mean, I'm not close enough, but if it makes any more movements, I'm going to shoot it.
Oh, you're waiting for more movements.
I'm far. I'm in the back, you guys. Yes, I'm like one of the last people that woke up. I'm not anywhere near the tree. Okay.
Oh, really?
That seemed like the most appropriate to me.
Oh, no.
My instantaneous reaction when this happens is I fall backwards, shooting the gun at just up in the air, probably, at this point.
Yeah, go make a roll, because if you get an extreme,
I got an 8.
Is that an extreme?
For shooting?
A rifle.
It actually is an extreme for me, but it's an extreme positive. This is going to go on every round for how many rounds? 10 rounds? For 3 rounds, I guess.
Well, I'm going to say that you have actually hit the tree. But how far away from it are you? You're about
20 feet.
Yeah.
I still say fire.
Yeah, that's you know, roll for damage anyway.
Let's see. Damage for shotgun is shotgun. Oh, there it is. All right. Only 3 points of damage.
Okay.
And I'm laying on my back on the ground now, continuing to just fire, but I'm actually pulling the trigger. Once I've shot twice, I'm just pulling the trigger and nothing's happening.
Okay. Is anyone else doing anything this round?
Yeah.
I'm good.
I think some other people lost their sanity too, didn't they?
Oh yeah, I lost a bit.
Yeah, I didn't lose enough sanity.
Am I the only one that passed?
No, I passed.
I passed. I'm fine.
Doctor,
a pass is just 1 point.
I would do pass,
and I'm also screaming.
You know, I hear him panicking. I'm going to try to shoot the tree too. I think.
Do we have any gas?
Because obviously, it just attacked him.
Okay. Roll to hit.
Literally, if I spend 1 point of luck, I will hit.
There's no luck in combat.
All right. Then otherwise, no, I don't hit by 1. Unless okay. I push the roll.
I don't think you can do that in combat either, can you?
No. Pretty sure you can't.
No, there's no pushing or luck in.
GM,
okay,
you've kind of blowing all right. the uh, the earth in front of it. What would be a very good warning?
This close.
In a Western, you'd be telling it to dance.
Back off.
Dance. Yeah.
Is there any petrol?
Dance, free dance.
Anything like petrol or kerosene or anything?
There's fuel for the camping stove, which I mean isn't something you'd normally use.
Gasoline. No.
Yeah, well, good idea.
There might be, you know, some lighter fluid or something like that. Make a luck roll.
Oh no.
24. Yeah, I'm good. For luck.
You've got a small tin of lighter fluid in your own pack, which is about the only pack you've got time to get to.
I'll go get it if I have time. My plan being to, of course, crack it open so I can spray it out fast, splash it on the.
Okay, that's going to take you a couple of rounds.
Yeah, of course. Okay. Yep, of course.
Okay.
Yep.
Shooting, everyone. Dr. White.
Yeah.
We'll skip you because you've already done this round. So now, Dr. Morton.
So I'm going to hope that this is a free action. So I'm going to approach Damien as he's grabbing the lighter fluid, and I'm going to put my hand on his shoulder, and I'm going to say, I'm going to go get Jack. And I'm going to rush over to Jack and say, grab whatever you can. We're getting out of here. This place is going up. And I'm going to rush, and I'm going to grab literally all my things.
Okay, well, you are then running to your stuff.
Running to my stuff.
Okay. Jack.
Yes. I just sent you a message. Did you get it?
Okay.
All right. Is that going to work?
Yes. In that case, Arthur, you go looking for Jack.
Okay, I go looking for Jack.
You can't find him. He appears to have run off into the jungle.
Well,
all right. Well, all right.
So we'll go to the next round then. So we'll start at the. I'll just work down the line. So, Dr. Chase.
Mm-hmm. Well, I see what he's trying to do with the lighter fluid, and I'm a little closer. So I'm going to try to go run and grab a stick from the fire and the campfire and light it on fire to help him out.
Okay, in that case. Oh!
You're all
as good. As you're running, a large gray tentacle branch thing again whacks down very close to you.
Oh, Jesus!
And,
but it doesn't hit me.
But it doesn't hit you.
Whew.
Dr. White.
So
you're running, and while you're doing that, you are running away to find a stick. As a big stick, branch, tentacle thing. Difficult to see in this light. Thwacks down next to you, Dr. White.
Right, I'm muted. Okay, sorry about that. I am going to stand. I'm going to stand back, and if a branch tries to come towards me, I'm going to try and swing at it with my knife.
Okay. So basically, you're going to attempt to parry it.
Yes.
With a knife.
Yes.
With a knife. Okay.
Is it a big knife?
Roll to hit.
I got an 05.
It also got an 05. What's the chances of that? Okay. In that case, I'm going to say that you do actually, it sort of glances and it sort of comes towards you, and you manage to not so much parry it, but just kind of push it away with the blade of the knife.
Okay.
But in
that
doing
was
so,
pretty amazing.
In doing so, it grasps your knife. So I'm going to ask you to do a strength roll, please.
Oh, okay.
I don't think he's going to win.
That's okay, let's see what happens. Nope.
No, it pulls the knife out of your hand, seemingly without any effort at all. It just flicks the knife out of your hand. And the knife flies off into the...
It was never heard from again, sir.
But still, that's pretty awesome.
Pijo!
That was pretty awesome.
Okay, I'm still hysterical, lying on the ground, firing at anything that moves.
Okay.
You hit me.
Well,
might want to clarify that.
I'm out of my mind.
We're all moving.
Yep. What do I want? What do you want me to do, Mick?
Hang on. Let me just quickly write this down.
Everything that you guys did sounded so calm, but I'm my character in this 2 seconds is just freaked out completely. He's out of his mind, out of control. Everything that I ever believed in giant mad eating plants has come true.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, Jack has run away, so that only leaves 4 others, and the tree is, of course, very much the focus of your anxiety at the moment. Okay. So, roll
1d8. 1d8.
Yep.
5.
Oh, that is the tree. You're very lucky. Good. So, roll to hit, but give me penalty dice as well.
Okay, because I can't actually aim at this point.
Yeah.
Penalty dice is this one. Um, 65, which is no, it's not a hit. It's a miss.
Okay. Boom. 3 canopy lights up. Bits of leaf and stick insect rain down.
Now, does this thing just look like a smooth tree with flailing branches, or is there more features now?
You're really not in a state of mind to take notice of details of it.
I'm trying to crawl.
Suddenly the tree attacked someone and you've gone absolutely mental as a result.
I'm trying to crawl backwards to get the hell away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So, Dr. Donovan, you are still retrieving.
Digging in my pack.
Rooting through your pack.
Nothing different than every normal other day when I'm trying to find things in my pack. Pens, pencils, paper, lighter fluid.
Little faster there, Damien.
I'm trying to find it. It's in here. Just keep shooting at it.
Okay. Arthur?
So I'm scrambling to shove everything in my pack and to take down my hammock because I'm kind of with Jack. We need to go, but then a thought crosses my mind, and I turn to with all this my bag, you know, kind of almost full. I turn to Damien and I shout, "Wait! It's worth millions."
Do you have a pot to put it in?
I say, just don't fully kill it. I mean, we're going to light it on fire. It's going to be gone.
What do we do then?
And I'm just going to shrug.
I hear him yelling, "Are you crazy?"
And well, shoot it. Shoot it some more. Let's shoot it.
All right. So I drop everything, pull out the rifle and shoot.
Okay. As you're doing this, you notice that the bearers awoken by the shooting have sort of gathered around the fire, and some of them are sort of squinting to see what's going on. Others have already picked up stones and are throwing stones at it.
Yeah. I'm going to roll to fire. That's a pass. Thank God.
What are you firing? Is it a rifle? Or?
Yeah, I'm going to fire my 1895 Winchester lever action rifle, which does it does 1d8 plus 1d6 plus 2. So I did 11 damage.
11 damage. Okay. Right. Most of the bearers are now picking up sticks and rocks and throwing them at it. One of them has got his machete and is racing towards it with his machete. Dr. Chase.
Well, at this point, I figure a machete might actually work a little better. I mean, it's a plant, so I'm going to try to use my machete on the branch tentacle that's in front of me, and I make it.
Okay.
Oh.
Roll for damage.
All right, so it does a d6 plus my damage bonus. I just did 10 damage in one swing.
Okay. With that, I'm going to say then that you actually hack off part of this branch.
Awesome.
Which continues writhing on the ground. But the thing doesn't make any sound. As this happens, though, it does kind of move. The trunk of the tree moves. Make a spot hidden roll.
Nope, I literally just rolled a 100.
Oh well, you're splashed with some kind of sap or blood momentarily and
fun.
Wiping it from your eyes, you don't really notice anything.
Okay, guys.
Yes.
Okay. I will roll a spot hidden and I pass.
As the tree creature thing writhes, seemingly in silent pain from having one of its tentacles cut off.
I mean, I would too.
You Dr. White, fittingly as a biologist, you notice that the top of the trunk of this thing extends a little bit higher than the branches.
Okay.
And the branches appear to all radiate uniformly. But what you notice more than anything is that in the top of the branch, if it was a log, it would be the bit where the log was cut flat. It is flat. It's flat and it's oval. But just for a moment, in the glimmer of the firelight, you can see that at the top of this thing is a mouth. Just a huge, yawning mouth surrounded with serrated teeth. It reminds you very much of looking down the throat of a turtle.
Nice.
Snapping. I point it to everybody out this. I'm like, look at
it. You're gonna turn around and point it out.
Yes.
I think you should be more worried about rolling for sanity after seeing that. The thing has a mouth.
Look over there.
With wide eyes and this kind of and a interesting smile, I approach, and I've got the rifle in the crook of my shoulder, but then I'm going to point the rifle down and bang, I'm gonna kill it. 100%. Make sure it's dead.
Right in the mouth. Eat lead.
Okay. Roll to hit.
49, especially at point blank range. So.
Yeah, you should have a bonus for point blank.
Roll for your damage.
4, 2, 10.
Until now, this thing has just been standing there, attacking those around it. But shooting it in the mouth seems to have changed the game somewhat. And it begins to move towards you.
Oh, shit.
Well, Jack made the right approach, but I'm going to...
It moves?
Yeah, it moves?
Yeah. It may move, but we'll deal with that later. I'm just going to click another round in the chamber, because this thing is going to make us all rich.
Well, as you click the round into the chamber, it lashes out with its tentacles at all three of you. So that's... Oh, dear. Well, it gets a... Sorry, I don't understand my dice entirely. So that's a... Dr. Chase, it...
Oh, God.
It lashes at you with its tentacle and makes a critical failure.
Oh, thank God.
So we'll say actually it lashes at you with the tentacle that's just been severed.
Okay, that scared the shit out of me.
And just sort of blindly... that tentacle blindly flails at you. That would be a good use of a critical failure.
Oh, God.
I think. Dr. White.
Yep. Oh, no.
Uh-oh. It's time to make a dodge roll.
Okay. I am... agile.
You made it.
It was a pass, but...
It was a pass, okay. You narrowly get out of the way. Similarly, Dr. Morton.
Mm-hmm.
Oh! You're also going to have to make a dodge roll.
Well, that's fine. So I got a 36, which is a pass by 4 points.
Okay. You have all managed to avoid its attention at this time. Dr. Donovan, you now have found your lighter fluid. P-Joe fires another round into the tree canopy.
Uh-huh.
And
do I dump it in its mouth?
Kill the damn thing!
You're about 20 feet away from it.
I wanted to ask something though. If I were to do a luck roll, could we say that my hand lands on a machete?
Given that you have a certain preoccupation with violently lashing out at the moment, go on. If you make a luck roll, I'll say that you can find your machete. You can change weapons and...
No, I got a 97. I found a big wad of dog poop.
There's no luck for you.
No, you're if anything, slightly angrier now.
I found a carrot, and I'm swinging the carrot at him.
Eat your vegetables!
You're so enraged that you're basically just lying on your back, kicking your arms and legs in the air, grabbing anything you can, and waving it around like a weapon, just going at this point.
Well,
okay, so another round comes. Let's quickly run down the line. Dr. Chase, what are you doing?
I'm going to try to hopefully shoot it in the mouth. Shoot it in the mouth.
I thought you
and
had
I do shoot it in the mouth.
I thought you had your machete at this point.
You're right. Sorry. My bad. I'm so tired. I apologize. I still make it with a machete anyway. With a 20.
Okay. Roll for damage.
Okay, so 5. 6 this time.
6. And... Okay. Dr. White.
I will try and still back up, and I will try and find my machete.
Okay, make a dexterity roll for me then.
I make it.
Okay, you scramble backwards, trying to locate your machete. Dr. Morton.
I guess I'm going to kind of make my way into the brush and fire. Because we can't burn it. We'd have no evidence.
Okay,
roll to hit. I just cut off one of its tentacles.
Well, we need the whole thing. Just an arm isn't enough.
Okay. I want the arm, though.
26, it's a pass.
Okay, roll for damage.
7, 5, plus 2, 14.
Okie dokie. P-Joe, you are still freaking out. Jack, you're starting to come to your senses. You find yourself on your knees, panting, almost sobbing. In the jungle, you suddenly become aware that you're just in the jungle in the dark.
Yeah, I thought it was a good idea to run, but now I'm realizing.
Yeah, now you're Dr. realizing Jack, you don't entirely know where you are.
Yeah.
Dr. Donovan.
Yes, sir.
You have your lighter fluid. You were heading back towards the creature.
I give Dr. Morton a look. I'm heading towards the mouth of the thing. I want to, douse it in the mouth. It won't destroy the creature.
Just kill it.
It's not. I mean, the mouth was visible when it leaned over when it was injured. Okay. It's upright again. So the mouth is, 16 feet up on the top of this thing.
Damn it.
All right, so I point to you, Donovan, and I say, do it, but we got to put the fire out as soon as it goes down.
Can I throw it at, is the mouth open?
You can't see from where you
are. Throw it at the base. Throw it at the base. Just the splash throw, whatever, to try to douse the base of the creature, and then jump away, assuming that Dr. Chase is going to light it up.
Okay, well, if you're going close enough to do that... going to try and attack you.
Nice.
So we'll go down the line again. And that's a miss. It has missed Dr. Chase.
I just crazy dodge.
Dr. White, could you make a dodge roll, please?
Come on. Nope.
Uh-huh. All right. One of its tentacles comes down and this time connects with you.
Ooh.
Okay.
And sort of grasps you partly over your shoulder and partly under your armpit of the other arm and starts pulling itself towards you, and starts pulling you towards it, doing 4 points of damage.
Ow!
Having grabbed you, it rears up and prepares to attack the others, at which point we will leave it for this week.
Fuck.
Or shall we quickly do the live? We'll finish the round. Let's finish the round.
Please. Actually,
yeah, I think for the sake of cleanliness, we'll finish the round. Dr. Morton. Oh, hang on, that's a D8.
That's good.
It's still a miss. It doesn't matter.
Wow, that's good.
Something anyway, so it's still missed. That's good. Misses you. And Dr. Donovan, you have now entered its area of anger.
Nice. I planned on that.
Great grey tentacles writhes and stops just short of your face. You are literally about a foot away from its reach at this point.
Ah.
You feel it. flaps in front of your face.
Cool.
So at that point, then, we will leave it for tonight because we've hit the two-hour mark.
All right, cool.
So
we're fucked.
Next week, we come back, and Dr. White is being dragged.
I'm going to be eaten by a tree.
Towards a large gray metallic tree with tentacles.
Okay. Our players included Jen Coulter, Corey Heisted, Sean Little, Thomas McKeon, Jeff Wilkins, and myself, with Mick Swan as the keeper of the secrets. Please consider visiting our Patreon account. Just $1 or $2 a month will help us greatly. We're currently producing 4 shows a week with music and sound effects added in post-production in order to create a richer listener experience. We provide audio-only versions of our shows free for you to download from Podbean or iTunes. Our musical intro, Birch Run Primal Drive, was composed by our good friend Kevin McLeod and is used royalty-free under a Creative Commons attribution license. Feel free to send us comments on the show. We'd love to hear from you. If you enjoyed our broadcast, please give us a thumbs up and subscribe to our channel for updates on our latest shows. You'll find links to everything I mentioned in the description below. This is Tom Rayleigh, together with all the members of our gaming group, inviting you to journey with us once again into the darkness for another adventure into the universe of H.P. Lovecraft and the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. Until next time, good luck and good gaming.